الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد, in our previous class, we had begun reading what the author he mentioned, رحمه الله تعالى باب ما جاء في الغيبة. باب ما جاء في الغيبة, the chapter with regards to that which has come about الغيبة, about backbiting, meaning from the great threat with regards to this, and the clarification that it is from the major sins. That it is from the major sins. We have seen that the author, he began with the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا, and that you should not backbite one another. And this is a prohibition with regards to this affair. And then after this, the author, he mentioned the narration of Abi Bakr radiallahu anhu, clarifying the sacredness and the great status of the blood and the wealth and the reputation, the honor of a Muslim, clarifying on the day of the farewell pilgrimage, on the day of Eid, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he questioned them in order to remind them of the sacredness of this affair, asking them, what day is this, and what month is this, and what land is this, every time clarifying that it's that sacred day, and it's in that sacred month, and in that sacred land. And then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam clarified that like this as well, that your blood and your wealth and your reputation and honor is sacred and impermissible to be violated, just as this day and this month and this land is sacred. And something that has a hurmah, meaning that it's sacred, meaning that it must be honored and it must be respected and it must be venerated and it must not be violated and it must not be disrespected in any manner. So the shahid from this is the issue of the a'rad, and that is the reputations and the honor of the people. It's not allowed to violate them. The honor and the reputation of the Muslims, it's not allowed to violate them. And from violating that honor and transgressing that limit, is backbiting and speaking ill about a believer behind his back. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after mentioning this, he also warned them from falling into fighting one another. And no doubt this is a result from backbiting. And whenever the people, they do not respect each other's wealth and property, and nor do they respect each other's honor, then that which proceeds from that and that which comes from that is that they will eventually start fighting one another. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam clarified likewise that this is from the actions of the disbelievers. It is the disbelievers, they're the ones who fight the Muslims. And it's not from the traits of the believers to fight one another. But no doubt it's something that had occurred and will occur. In our previous class, we discussed this issue to clarify what is referred to here was a type of minor disbelief and not major disbelief. وَلَا تَرَجِعُوا بَعْدِي كُفَارًا يَضْرِبُ بَعْضُكُمْ رِقَابَ بَعْضٍ, yani that you should not become disbelievers after me by striking each other's necks, yani fighting one another. And what is intended here is lesser than major disbelief. And we have seen the evidences from that. And then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَلَا فَلْيُبَلِّغْ الشَّاهِدُ مِنْكُمْ الْغَائِبِ فَلَعَلَّ بَعْضَ مَنْ يَبْلُغُهُ أَنْ يَكُونَ أَوْعَى مِمَّنْ سَمِعَ, and that the one who has witnessed and attended this gathering and heard these benefits, then he should convey that to the one after him. An indication of the great importance of transmitting the knowledge after verifying that it is authentic and that it is proper and correct to convey that and to spread that and to teach that to the people and to clarify that. فَلْيُبَلِّغِ الشَّاهِدْ مِنْكُمْ الْغَائِبِ. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam likewise mentioned another wisdom behind that, because possibly someone will reach him, this knowledge may reach one of you, and he may be more knowledgeable or have more understanding than the one who heard it the first time. Meaning the one who heard it in the beginning, maybe he will convey that knowledge to someone after him who will understand it better and who will have more knowledge of that affair and be able to derive more benefits and more rulings than the one who heard it in the first place. Then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he says, ثُمَّ قَالَ أَلَا هَلْ بَلَغْتُ قُلْنَا نَعَمْ قَالَ اللَّهُمَّ اشْهَدْ قَالَهَا ثَلَاثًا أَخْرَجَاهُ. So then after this, Abu Bakrata radiyallahu anhu, he says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in this great gathering, after this great advice, have I indeed conveyed to you? And he meaning, have you all understood and the message has reached you? And they said yes. And therefore the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, oh Allah, bear witness. And he bear witness that I have conveyed that what you have placed upon me and ordered me to convey. He said it three times, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After this, the author, he says, وَلَهُمَا عَنْ إِبْنِ عَمْرٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ الْمُسْلِمُ مَنْ سَلِمَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ مِنْ لِسَانِهِ وَيَدِهِ وَالْمُهَاجِرُ مَنْ هَجَرَ مَا نَهَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَالْمُهَاجِرُ مَنْ هَجَرَ مَا نَهَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. After this, the author, he mentioned the narration, he says, وَلَهُمَا, meaning also in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, from the hadith of Ibn Amr, yani Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, radiyallahu anhuma, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, al-Muslimu, al-Muslimu, yani al-Muslimu haqqan, al-Muslimu haqqan, the true Muslim, the Muslim who has fulfilled the rights about Islam properly. The Muslim is the one who the rest of the Muslims are safe from his tongue and from his hand. Safe from his tongue and from his hand. والمهاجر, yani the one who is truly migrating in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, من هجر ما نهى الله عنه. He is the one who turned away from and left off everything that Allah has forbidden and made prohibited. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an amazing narration. Again, likewise, this narration is from those narrations and those great advices and admonishments that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave on Hajjatul Wada', and he gave many sermons and many advices and many different directions and guidance mentioned on that day, and with great effort, and no doubt it was the advice and the admonishment of the one who was bidding farewell. So therefore sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he covered many aspects and many topics of the religion and with great diligence and great concern and sincerity, hoping to convey the message and to clarify to the people, mentioning different rites about Islam and the manners and etiquettes of the religion, and clarifying the fundamentals and the pillars of faith. And from that, this issue here and this narration, al-Muslim, al-Muslimu man salima al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi, the true Muslim, or the Muslim who has completed his Islam, or his religion is good and his faith is strong, he is the one that the rest of the Muslims, they are safe from his tongue and his hand. They are safe from his tongue and his hand. At Islam and As-Salama, they come together. And whenever the Islam is strong, then likewise the Salama comes along with that. That the people, they will be safe. They'll be safe from a person's tongue. And they'll be safe from his hand. Meaning he will not violate their rights. Those sacred rights that were mentioned in the previous narration about the Dima and the Amwal and the A'rad, all of these affairs, whenever the Islam is strong, then a person, he will fulfill those rights and he will honor them and he will respect them. But if that Islam becomes deficient, then he will begin to violate those affairs and he will start oppressing the people, either in their blood, in their body, in their soul, or either in their wealth and their property, or either in their reputation and their honor. And this is the case. So whenever the Islam is strong, then these things are honored. And these things are kept sacred. And this is what Islam will do for a person. Whenever he fulfills the rights of Islam and he establishes the religion properly, this is from the completion of that. That he will honor and he will respect the limits of Allah and the commandments of Allah and the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will fulfill the rights of Allah by fulfilling the rights he has given to his creation and to the people. And he will not violate that out of fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. Out of fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. So his Islam will make the people safe from him, from his evil or foul manners and the likes like this, especially with his tongue and with his hand. With his tongue and with his hand, meaning speaking about them and lying on them or backbiting them or carrying tales about them or deceiving them or cheating them and the likes like this. And likewise from his hand, from striking them. But the people of knowledge, they mentioned that it's not limited to the tongue and the hand. But what is intended here is that he will not harm them. The true Muslim, he will not harm the Muslim. They'll be safe from him in entirety. And he meaning that he will not harm them in any manner. And he will not belittle them. And the fact that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned bi lisanihi, meaning by speaking about them. by speaking about them and talking about them, or بِيَدِهِ any by harming them, or by writing about them, or by typing messages like we have today about them, lying on them, or backbiting them in any manner like this, with his tongue or with his hand, or even if he sticks his tongue out in disgust, and to mimic or to mock them, or to belittle them. And all of this is included. All of this is included. Or even if he hit them with his head, or hit them with his feet, or his knee, or his elbow, or any other part of the body. And what is intended is that the Muslims, they will be safe from him. Because his Islam, his Islam will bring this for him in his life. And the people, they will be safe from him by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَالْمُهَاجِرُ مَنْ هَجَرَ مَنْ نَهَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. And the true muhajir, the one who is truly migrating in the path of Allah, he is the one who has turned away from and left off everything that Allah has forbidden. He is the one who has turned away and left. He has turned away from and left off everything that Allah has forbidden. So this is the true migration. And al-hijrah, hijratani. There are two types of hijrah. And the first one is well known, and this is migrating with the body. Yani from the lands of disbelief into the lands of al-Islam. This is not an obligation upon all of the Muslims at all of the time. This type of hijrah here, al-intiqal min balad al-kufri ila balad al-Islam. This is a type of migration that is very virtuous and has a great reward. Al-hijrah tu tahdibu ma kana qablaha. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that the hijrah, it will remove all of the sins that had occurred before. And it's a means for expiating all of the sins and a great means of repentance. But it's not obligatory on all of the Muslims at all of the time. It's not obligatory on all of the Muslims at all of the time. As for the other type of hijrah, then it is obligatory at all times. And this is al-hijrah ila Allahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-hijrah to ila Allahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, to migrate. Yani bil qalbi ila Allahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, to migrate to Allah Azza wa Jal by leaving off everything that is forbidden and everything that is not allowed and everything that is detestful and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like, to leave that and to migrate from that and to put that behind a person and to go forward and to hasten in the path of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to migrate and to leave off, to turn away from, and to get rid of all of the statements and manners and actions and all of the desires and lusts that are displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hope to be this in life or that in life, or to have this occupation and that occupation, if it's displeasing to Allah, or the means to obtain that will cause a person to fall in something that is not pleasing to Allah, he will leave that and he will make hijrah. Hijrah to Allah. Al-hijrah to min ma yuskhitu Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ila ma yurdhihi. إِلَى مَا يُرْضِيهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, to migrate from everything that will make Allah angry, everything that would earn the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal, to that which will make Him pleased with the person. Yani from the correct creed and belief, and likewise the correct actions and statements and manners, yani the correct conduct, from that is migrating and leaving off the backbiting and turning away from that, to the speech that is allowed and permissible, to the speech that is allowed and permissible. It has been narrated by Fadada ibn Ubaid radiallahu anhu, and collected by Imam Ahmed in his Musnad. He says, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي حَجَّةِ الْوَدَاعِ, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said on the farewell pilgrimage, he said, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِ, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told them in another sermon on the farewell pilgrimage, should I not inform you about al-mu'min, the true believer? Al-mu'min, yani the alif and lam here means the one who is a complete believer, the one who has gathered the attributes of faith, yani the one who has completed the obligations of faith, al-mu'min. Should I not inform you about al-mu'min? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, man aminahu nasu ala amwalihim wa anfusihim. The one who the people, they are safe from him. They are safe from him with regards to their wealth and their persons, meaning with regards to their wealth and their bodies, that he will not harm them. وَالْمُسْلِمُ مَنْ سَلِمَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ مِنْ لِسَانِهِ وَالْيَدِهِ. And the true Muslim, al-Muslim. Again, the alif and lam indicates that this person has gathered the traits of al-Islam and fulfilled the obligations of al-Islam and has brought those sacred rights entirely. And he is the one who the rest of the Muslims are safe from his tongue and from his hand. وَالْمُجَاهِدُ مَنْ جَهَدَ نَفْسَهُ فِي طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ. And the true mujahid, the one who is truly fighting in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, he is the one who is fighting against his own soul to be obedient to Allah. he is doing, who is fighting against his own soul to establish the obedience of Allah, meaning to fulfill those commandments, to fulfill those commandments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made obligatory upon the people. وَالْمُهَاجِرُ مَنْ هَجَرَ الْخَطَايَا وَالْمُهَاجِرُ مَنْ هَجَرَ الْخَطَايَا وَالْذُنُوبِ. And the true muhajir, he is the one who has turned away from and left off the sins and actions of disobedience. He is the one who has turned away from the sins and the actions of disobedience. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this narration, he mentioned a number of affairs. First one, al-mu'min. And al-mu'min, he is the one who has al-iman. And whenever the iman is complete and a person, he has fulfilled the rites of faith, then this faith here will bring about safety and security, yani in the hearts of others. In the hearts of others, this is what this narration is referring to. But likewise, al-iman, the one who has it, it brings about safety and security for him first, for the believer first. And whenever the faith is strong and complete, then his safety and security is more strong and complete. A person who has fulfilled the obligations of faith, then he is safe from the anger of Allah and his punishment. And likewise, he will be safe from misguidance in this life. He'll be safe from misguidance in this life and from deviation. And also he'll be safe from the anger and the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal. And another fruit along with that is the people will feel safe from him, as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned. And this is from the fruits of faith. A person who has completed his faith, the people will never expect him to cheat them, or to deceive them, or to get over on them, or to rob them, or to take their money, or to harm them physically. And this is what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioning. The opposite of al-aman is al-khawf. Al-khawf. So whenever the iman is strong, then the people there are not afraid of the individual. Al-mu'min. Allah ukhbirukum bil-mu'min man aminahu an-nas ala amwalihim wa anfusihim. The true believer, he's the one who the people, they feel safe. They have aman. They have security. They feel in safety and security from him. And they do not think that he would ever harm them and violate their rights by taking the most precious things that they have. And that is their souls and their wealth. Their souls and their wealth. As for whenever a person, his faith becomes weaker, then the individuals, they do not feel safe from that. Rather, maybe they feel at fright or at fear from an individual. Maybe he will violate their right, and maybe he will deceive them or trick them or get over on them and take their wealth unrightfully. Or maybe he will physically harm them and the likes like this. So this is whenever the iman is deficient. As for whenever it's strong, then this is from the fruits of that. So with al-iman comes al-aman. With al-iman, al-iman comes al-aman. Al-ladhina amanu wa al-ladhina amanu وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ أُولَئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. جزاك الله خيرا. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ أُولَئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned about those believers who have fulfilled their faith, the rights of their faith, that there are those who believe and they did not mix their faith with oppression. They did not mix their faith with shirk. They did not mix their faith with shirk. Those who do not mix their faith with shirk, then they have al-amn. They have al-amn, meaning they will be safe from the hellfire. They will be safe from the hellfire. But then after that, some of the people who are safe from the hellfire, their safety is not complete. Rather, they will be safe from abiding there for eternity, but they will not be safe from entering or being tried or being purified in there. But if the faith is strong and complete, then they will be safe from the fire in entirety. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ. The one who does this, who stays away from all types of oppression, then he will have al-amn al-tam, wal-hidayah al-tam. He will have complete safety and complete security, and he will have complete guidance and perfect guidance. يَهْدِيهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِإِيمَانِهِمْ. He will be guided directly to the paradise. He will be guided directly across the sirat, directly to the paradise. He will be safe in this life and safe in his grave and safe in the hereafter, and he will have nothing but the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is from the fruits of faith. From the fruits of faith, those who stay away from major shirk, and those who stay away from the major sins, and those who stay away from violating the rights of the people as well. Yani they stay away from violating the rights of others, and they stay away from oppressing their own souls. So the dhulm is three types, like this. The major dhulm, which is shirk, akbar. And then there's another type of dhulm, or oppression, which is with regards to the rights of the people. The rights of the people. And another type of oppression, which is with regards to the rights of one's own self. So if a person avoids the major dhulm and oppression, and likewise he does not oppress the people, and he stays away from the sins, and does not oppress his own soul, then he has complete safety and security. And he has complete guidance and perfect guidance in this life and in the hereafter. So this is only from the fruit of that. مَنْ أَمِنَهُ النَّاسُ عَلَىٰ أَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ. And as for the Islam, likewise, whenever the Islam is strong as well, then what would happen? The people will have salama. The people will have salama. The person, they will be safe from his tongue. They will be safe from his tongue and his hands. His hands will not harm them. And his tongue will not harm them. He will not harm them. So they will be safe from him. يَسْلَمُونَ مِنْ شَرِّهِ وَمِنْ أَذَاهِ. They will be safe and free from his harm and from his evil. And this is what Islam will do for a person. This, the first and foremost, he himself, he will be safe from harming his own soul, and likewise others will be safe from him harming them as well. And the true mujahid, the one who's really fighting in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, he is the one who's striving against his own soul to establish these affairs. He's the one who's striving against his own soul to establish these affairs, to establish the Islam, and to establish the Iman, to fulfill the rights of al-Islam, the sacred rights of al-Islam, and likewise to fulfill the sacred rights of al-Iman, and to complete their faith. This is the true mujahid. وَالْمُجَاهِدْ مَنْ جَهَدَ نَفْسَهُ بِطَاعَةِ اللَّهِ. And none of that will be complete, and none of that will be complete until likewise he leaves off and stays away from that which is forbidden, and that which is impermissible. وَالْمُهَاجِرْ مَنْ هَجَرَ مَنَهَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. مَنْ هَجَرَ أي تَرَكَ وَابْتَعَدَ عَنْهُ يَنِي مَنَهَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. The one who stays away from, the one who leaves off and stays away from everything that Allah has forbidden. So these affairs, they have been mentioned in this great pilgrimage and these great sermons that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam has given. And from those affairs is backbiting, and this is the shahid. And in that, the believers, they will be safe from one's tongue, that he will not backbite them. He will not speak about them in an ill manner behind their back. He will not say anything that they dislike behind their back. This is whenever the Islam is strong, and this is whenever the Iman is strong, and this is something that a believer, he has to strive to fulfill and obtain in his life. It's been narrated from a number of the Salaf that they have found this to be very blameworthy, and that some of them, they would say, Al-ghibatu mar'a al-liyam. Al-ghibatu mar'a al-liyam. That backbiting is the pastors of the lowlifes. And they're the ones that, who are grazing in the fields of backbiting, as if it's like fields for like the animals and the likes like this. Mar'a al-liyam. It's the lowlifes. They're the ones grazing in the pastures of backbiting and they're going around speaking ill about the people behind their backs. And many times this is because they're cowards and they're not strong enough or have enough religion to say it sincerely and give sincere advice to the face of the people, rather they can only say anything about them behind their back. And this is why another reason why the example has been made, would you like to eat the flesh of your brother while he's dead? And because a person who's dead, he cannot defend himself. Just like a person who is absent, likewise, he can't defend himself. So the person who is backbiting, he's like this. He will only take advantage of his brother whenever his brother is not able to defend himself. So this is a sign that he is a coward, and that he's scared, and that he has no manhood. Had he had manhood, he would have stood up and said that to his face, and given him sincere advice for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. It has been mentioned by Abu Asim al-Nabil, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says, لا يذكروا في الناس ما يكرهون إلا سفرة لا دين لهم. That no one mentions that which the people like, that which the people dislike behind their backs, except for lowlifes, those who have no religion. Except for the lowlifes, those who have no religion. Likewise, it's been narrated by him as well, Abu Asim al-Nabil, rahimahullahu ta'ala, that he told his student, al-Bukhari, rahmatullahi alayhima, he says, منذ أقلت أن الغيبة حرام ما اغتبت أحدا. He said, ever since I understood and learned that backbiting was impermissible, I never backbit anybody. I never backbit anybody. So he's telling his student this affair like this. يعني منذ أقلت أن الغيبة حرام ما اغتبت أحدا قط. He said, ever since I learned and realized that backbiting was haram, I never did that to anyone ever whatsoever. And informing his student of this matter in order to encourage him to be like that as well. And this is something that we should strive to be like as well, in our houses especially, in our homes especially. And if something from that occurs from the mother or the father or the children, it should be stopped immediately. And the people should be advised. And this is something that should be taken out of the houses because it brings much calamity. And likewise from the community as well. It's a means to sow great discord, as well as wiping out much of a person's good deeds. The author, he says, رحمه ta'ala, وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه مرفوعا من أكل لحم أخيه في الدنيا قرب إليه يوم القيامة فيقال له كله ميتا كما أكلته حيا فيأكله فيكلح ويصيح رواه أبو يعلى بسند حسن. The author, he mentioned now the narration of Abi Hurairah رضي الله عنه that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that whoever eats the flesh of his brother in this life, then it will be brought close to him on the day of resurrection. Eating his flesh, again referring to backbiting. And he's biting his back, meaning he's eating his flesh. And he's biting his back literally like this. But what is meant, what is intended, is to speak ill of him in his absence. So the one who did this, ate his flesh in this life, then his flesh will be brought near to him on the day of resurrection. And it will be said to him, eat his flesh whenever he's dead, as you ate it whenever he was alive. So at this time his face will ball up and he will scream, yani from detest and from fright. And this narration, he says, is narrated by Abu Ya'la bi sanadin hasan. Some of the people of knowledge have mentioned that the narration is weak. The author, he mentioned that the narration is hasan. So they have differed with regards to this. But no doubt this resemblance is something that is established in the Quran. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدَكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا. Would one of you like to eat the flesh of your dead brother? فَكَرِهْتُمُ. Rather you would dislike that. So this resemblance is made يعني in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. And it's not allowed to eat the flesh of the dead animals. An animal that died and was not slaughtered properly. Some of the people of knowledge mentioned that's a major sin, to eat the maytah intentionally, without any necessity and the likes like this, to eat the animal. Like for example, if a sheep died without being slaughtered properly, the flesh is considered maita. Somebody to eat that while he knows, without any reason, without any necessity and the likes like this, will be considered from the major sins, and Allah knows best. So how about if it's a human being? Rather, how about if it's a person's brother, his Muslim brother. So no doubt this would be something that is detestful. So for this reason, Qatada, he mentioned about that statement of Allah Azza wa Jal. He says, in the interpretation of that, كَمَا أَنْتَ كَارِهٌ لَوْ وَجَدْتَ جِيفَةً مُدَوِّدَ أَنْ تَأْكُلَ مِنْهَا فَكَذَلِكَ فَقْرَهْ غِيبَتَهُ وَهُوَ حَيٌّ وَهُوَ حَيٌّ. And just as you dislike if you found your brother, if you found his body and he decaying and the likes like this with worms, just as you would dislike to eat that whenever he's dead, and the dead body of a human being, of your brother, just as you would detest that and dislike that, and to eat that, then as well you should dislike eating his back or eating his flesh whenever he's alive, and backbiting him whenever he is alive. So this, no doubt, is something that is foul, and this resemblance has been made and clarified in the Noble Quran and understood by the Salaf. After this, the author, he says, وَلِيَبْنِ حِبَّانِ وَصَحَّحَهُ عَنْهُ فِي قِصَّةِ مَعِزِ. And also it has been narrated by Ibn Hibban, and he has authenticated it from the story of Ma'iz. Ma'iz radiallahu anhu, he was a companion from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he had fallen into fornication. And then after that, he had felt very bad, and he had great remorse and regret. And he brought himself to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to confess and to request for the legal punishment to be established upon him. To turn into repentance to Allah Azza wa Jal. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam examined him and questioned him. And whenever he continued in that confession, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered that he would be stoned. And then he was stoned to death, radiallahu anhu. And this was a great repentance from him. And this is what the author, he's referring to now. He says, أَنَّ رَجُلًا قَالَ لِآخَرٍ انظر إلى هذا الرجل الذي ستر الله عليه فلم يدع نفسه حتى رجم رجم الكلب. There's a word missing here in the text. حتى رجم رجم. There's another رجم here. حتى رجم رجم الكلب. So at this time, this is after his death, after he had been stoned, and after he had been buried, radiallahu anhu, and after the limit had been applied, and this had been established. One man he mentioned to another man, and he says, look at this man that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had covered him, and then he did not leave himself except he uncovered that. Yani, except he had uncovered that, yani revealing that, because it was something that was between him and Allah Azza wa Jalla, but he revealed that to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but that was out of repentance and out of fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla and out of remorse. And they said, look at him, how he has done this, until he was stoned, like the way that the dogs are stoned in this manner, like this. This is what is mentioned here. فَقَالَ لَهُمَا النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ كُولَ مِنْ جِيفَةِ هَذَا الْحِمَارِ الْمَيِّتِ كَمَا أَكَلْتُمَا عِرَضَ هَذَا الرَّجُلِ فَإِنَّ مَا أَكَلْتُمَا أَشَدُّ مِنْ أَكْلِ هَذِهِ الْجِيفَةِ. At this time it's mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ, he said to the two of them, eat the flesh of this dead donkey here. Eat from the flesh of this dead donkey here, because that what you have eaten, that what you have eaten from the reputation and the honor of that man is more severe than you eating from the flesh of this animal. Than you eating from the flesh of this animal. This narration likewise is mentioned that it has some deficiency in it as well. But it has been narrated any similar like this from Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu mawqufan. From Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu mawqufan. Yani meaning this is the statement of a companion that he said, وَكَانَ يَسِيرُ مَعَ نَفَرٍ مِنْ أَصْحَابِهِ فَمَرَّ عَلَى بَغْلٍ مَيِّتٍ قَدْ انْتَفَخَ فَقَالَ وَاللَّهِ لَأَنْ يَأْكُلَ أَحَدُكُمْ هَذَا حَتَّى يَمْلَأَ بَطْنَهُ خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ مُسْلِمٍ. He said to his companions, Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhuma, whenever they're traveling on a journey and they passed by a mule that was dead and had swollen, a dead mule that his body had swollen, he looked at his companions and he told them, he said, I swear by Allah that if one of you were to eat from this the flesh of this dead animal until you fill up your belly, it's better for you than that you should eat the flesh of a Muslim. That you should eat the flesh of a Muslim. And in order to clarify the severity of this affair and the dangers of this affair. So no doubt this issue here is established, although the chains of these two narrations have weaknesses in them, the meanings are clear and clearly supported by evidences in the Quran and the Sunnah, and likewise here in the understanding of this companion. After this, the author he says, وَلَهُمَا عَنِ بِنْ عَبَاسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَرَّ بِقَبَرَيْنِ. And likewise, it's been narrated by Al-Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Ibn Abbasin radiyallahu anhuma that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he passed by two graves. فَقَالَ إِنَّهُمَا لَيُعَذَّبَانِ وَمَا يُعَذَّبَانِ فِي كَبِيرٍ بَلَا إِنَّهُ كَبِيرٌ. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at this time, and he passing by these two graves, he said, indeed, those two individuals, they're being punished, and they're not being punished by something major. Rather, indeed, it is major. So here the issue of the sin being kabir is mentioned two times, one time affirmed and one time negated. And the one that is affirmed is different than the one that is negated. It's not something kabir that they're being punished, and it's not something kabir, meaning they're being punished, but it's not something that is major, meaning that maybe the people do not consider it to be major, or they think that it's something light, or it's not major, meaning it's not something that's hard or difficult to avoid and stay away from. But innahu kabir, but indeed it is kabir, but indeed it is major with Allah Azza wa Jal. It is major with Allah Azza wa Jal, and the sin for that likewise, and the punishment likewise, for that is major and severe as well. So this is what is intended. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, أَمَّا أَحَدُهُمَا فَكَانَ لَا يَسْتَبْرِئُ مِنْ بَوْلِ مِنَ الْبَوْلِ أَمَّا أَحَدُهُمَا فَكَانَ لَا يَسْتَبْرِئُ مِنَ الْبَوْلِ وَأَمَّا الْآخَرَ فَكَانَ يَمْشِي بِالنَّمِيمَةِ. Then the author, he says, أَخْرَجُ الْبُخَارِي فِي الْأَدَبِ الْمُفْرَدِ نَحْوَهُ مِنْ حَدِيثِ جَابِرٍ وَفِيهِ أَمَّا أَحَدُهُمَا فَكَانَ يَغْتَابُ النَّاسِ أَمَّا أَحَدُهُمَا فَكَانَ يَغْتَابُ النَّاسِ. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, as for one of them, that he did not use to protect himself or shield himself from his urine. And even whenever he used the restroom, akramakum Allah, he did not use to shield himself from his urine, any from the splashing of his urine and the likes like this. Or if it, yani he did not either shield himself like this, or if something got on him, he didn't cleanse himself. And he took this affair lightly. He took this affair lightly. So this is a sign, this is a major sin likewise. Taking the affair of al-istinja lightly. Taking the affair of a tahara lightly. Yani that a person, he will pass urine and not have any care or concern, whether it splashed on him or not. Or if it did splash on him, whether he wiped it off or not. He did not take any precaution in this manner. كَانَ لَا يَسْتَنْزِهُ مِنَ الْبَوْلِ أَوْ لَا يَسْتَبْرِئُ مِنَ الْبَوْلِ. And he didn't stay away from that or avoid that, or he didn't clean himself off properly. This is why he's punished in the grave. This is why he's punished in the grave. So this is something that's very serious. And likewise, it's something that we have to be aware of ourselves, first and foremost. And likewise, we have to raise our children and teach them this as well. If we love our children, if we love our young boys and girls and the likes like this, then we will hope that they'll be safe from the hellfire. And we hope that they'll be safe from the punishment of the grave. And from that is to teach them about cleansing themselves properly and purifying themselves properly and keeping the urine off of themselves and taking the means of precaution in order to avoid that. And if anything were to get on them or their clothing, how to clean that properly. First and foremost, we have to be upon that. And likewise, we have to strive to raise our children upon that as well, out of fear of being from the likes of this individual punished in his grave, from taking this lightly. Likewise, we have seen another narration that indicate the greatness of tahara. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Wail lil aqab min an-nar." Wail, and he made that lil aqab, the aqab, the heels. May the hills be destroyed. Any a warning from him sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the fire. May the hills be punished in the fire. Meaning those people who did not make the wudu properly, that did not make the purification properly, there's a threat for them. There's a threat for them likewise. So this is something that as a result of that will be considered taking the issue of salah lightly. Because from the obligations and the conditions of the salah is that the body is purified from the khabath and likewise from the hadith. From the khabath and from the hadith. So if the hadith is not removed, or if the khabath is there, the filth is still there because of a person taking this affair lightly, this is a means any for him to be punished in the grave. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And the shahid is the second individual. And وَأَمَّا الْآخَرْ فَكَانَ يَمْشِي بِالنَّمِيمَةِ. And as for the other one, that he used to go around with calumnies. And he used to go around spreading tales. And he trying to work corruption and sow discord amongst the people in the society by carrying tales back and forth, one party from another. We have seen the chapter with regards to that in previous classes. But the author, he mentions in one wording by Al-Bukhari and Al-Adib Al-Mufrad, any one wording of this narration by Jabir radiallahu anhu, as for the other one, or as for one of them, that he used to backbite the people. So here in this wording that is muttafaqun alayhi, فَكَانَ يَمْشِي بِالنَّمِيمَةِ. And another wording by Jabir radiallahu anhu, which is also authentic, وَكَانَ يَغْتَابُ النَّاسِ. I need to clarify the meanings. And if this is the shahid for the author, he used to carry tales. And the one who carries tales, likewise, he's backbiting the people. He's backbiting the people. So this is the issue here. This is a sign that it's a major sin. And it's nothing light. That there's a threat for a punishment in the grave with regards to this. There's a threat for the punishment in the grave with regards to backbiting the people and carrying tales. Backbiting the people and carrying tales. The author, he says, وَلِيَحْمَدَ بِسَنَدٍ صَحِيحٍ مَعْنَاهُ من حديث أبي بكرة رضي الله عنه ولأبي داود الطيالسي and Ibn Abbas مثله بسند جيد. So it's been narrated likewise from Ahmed and from Abu Dawud al-Tayalisi, both of them, any with an authentic chain of narration from Abu Bakrata and Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهم, similar to these narrations. With regards to the narration, the author, he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى from the story of Ma'iz رضي الله عنه. One of the benefits from mentioning this narration here is to clarify that this story here in this narration occurred after he died, radiallahu anhu, and after he's buried. And for this reason, Al-Bukhari and Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned this narration under the title Babu Ghibat Al-Mayyit, the chapter with regards to backbiting the deceased. This here is as well something that is forbidden. And this issue has proceeded likewise. We have discussed this affair. But the benefit of mentioning this here now is to clarify as well. In his life, while he's alive, it's not allowed. Any that the believer, the Muslim, his honor it must be preserved and it must be honored and respected, and his reputation, his honor and reputation, it must be preserved and maintained, it must be respected, and it must not be violated while he's alive and nor after he's dead. While he's alive and nor after he's dead. It must not be violated while he's alive and nor after he is dead. Nor after he's dead. After this, the author, he says, Rahimahullahu ta'ala, what it Tirmidhi wa sahahahu an Aisha radiallahu anha, annaha qalat li nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hasbuka min safiyata kada wa kada. Hasbuka min safiyata kada wa kada, qala ba'du ruwat, ta'ni annaha qasira. Ta'ni annaha qasira. So the author now, he mentions the narration collected by At-Tirmidhi, rahimahullah, and that he authenticated it likewise from the Haditha Aisha radiallahu anha, that she said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it suffices you, or it's enough for you. It's enough for you to know about Safiyyah, this and that, this and that. It's enough for you. Yani to know about Safiyyah, yani she's finding fault with her. And this is happening because of the ghira that occurs between any of the spouses, between the women, whenever they share a husband. And this is the case here. Gharat Ummuna Aisha radiallahu anha, and she said this word, Hasbuka min Safiyyata kada wa kada. It will suffice you, O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about Safiyyah, this and that, this and that. One of the narrators, he says, she means that she's short. She means that she's short. She's short. So here, Aisha radiallahu anha, she's finding fault with Safiyyah. And he mentioning her in a bad light to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what she's saying about her is that she's short. Is that she's short. Yani is that she's not tall. So yani to find fault with her in this manner. To find fault with her in this manner. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, لَقَدْ قُلْتِ كَرِمَةً لَوْ مُزِجَتْ بِمَاءِ الْبَحْرِ لَمَزَجَتْهُ لَوْ مُزِجَتْ بِمَاءِ الْبَحْرِ لَمَزَجَتْهُ قَالَتْ وَحَكَيْتُ لَهُ إِنسَانًا فَقَالَ مَا أُحِبُّ أَنْ تَحْكِي لِإِنسَانٍ وَأَنَّ لِكَذَا وَكَذَا. So she said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at this time he told her that you have said a statement. You have just made a statement that if it was mixed with the water of the ocean, then it would corrupt it. لَوْ مُزِجَتْ بِمَاءِ الْبَحْرِ لَمَزَجَتْهُ يعني لَأَفْسَدَتْهُ لَأَفْسَدَتْهُ. That your statement here, this one statement, يعني meaning that she's short. Like this, saying this one word, she's short. It's enough for you to know that she's short. That she's short. Like this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that you have just said a statement that if that word was to be mixed with the water of the ocean, it would corrupt the entire ocean. It would corrupt the entire ocean. And to clarify the dangers of this affair. Likewise, Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, in one time I mimicked a person to him. حَكَيْتُ يَنِي قَلَّتُهُ وَالْحِكَايَ وَالْمُحَكَاتِ. It's whenever a person, he will imitate somebody. He will mimic them and he will speak like them and the way that they speak, or move his body and the way that they do and the likes like this. يَنِي to mimic them. To mimic them and to belittle them. Sometimes people, they'll do that. Mimicking them. Mimicking them. يَنِي meaning they'll move the way they move, or they'll speak the way they speak, in order to make fun of them or belittle them. Many times somebody will do that, and then after that the people, they will laugh. And he was from the means, any for some gatherings to mock people and to mimic them, but then to make the people to make the people laugh. So she said, I did this one time to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, I do not like that you mimic anybody to me, even if I was given this and that. And meaning he did not like that or approve that whatsoever. And there's a great benefit in this narration, and that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, along with the fact of his great love for Aisha radiallahu anha, his great love for Aisha radiallahu anha, he was still just. And whenever this occurred, he corrected her and he reprimanded her and he clarified that which is correct and he warned her from that. And likewise, we benefit from that as well, that it's incumbent for us like that to cultivate our own families and to reprimand our own families in the same manner like this. And that if the likes of these affairs occur, people are being backbiting or speaking ill of others in the home, that they will not be allowed to do that, that they will be stopped, and they will be reminded of the great threat with regards to that, and that this is something that's very dangerous, and that this is a foul way. So this is just one word, she's short. Imagine if somebody, about one person, if that one word, that one time, that one gathering was mixed with the water of the ocean, it would corrupt it. It would corrupt it, completely change it. in this manner? How about when somebody, that's his manners and that's what he does? So-and-so and this and that, talking about people all of the time, and in many different people, many different circumstances, many different situations. Not just one word, two, three, four, five words. Not just one gathering, three, four, five, six gatherings. And the likes like this, then no doubt, this is great corruption and great yani ill and great yani calamity for that individual. So here, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he put a stop to that immediately. And he clarified that this is something that's not pleasing and it's not proper. And Allahu a'lam, after that, what we would think is that Aisha radiallahu anha, she would not return to that and do that again. And this is the case. And that whenever a person, he hears the likes of these affairs, he will benefit from that. And he will remember and he will not fall back into these affairs. And he will not fall back into these affairs. So even if a person were to backbite them in this manner, to speak ill about them directly, or to make some type of notion, to make some type of notion or body language, and the likes like this, all of this is included. All of this is included, and it's not allowed. Rather, it's from the major sins. The people of knowledge, they mentioned that backbiting, it has different reasons. A number of reasons why the people will fall in that. The first of them is that a person, his religion is weak. As we have seen, that al-Muslim, man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. So whenever the religion is weak, this is what will happen. Maybe people, they will start backbiting individuals and speaking about them behind their backs. And likewise, another reason for backbiting to occur is because of jealousy and envy. Somebody maybe has jealousy. And if we have ever been around the likes of these people, we know that any the person who has jealousy and envy for somebody will burn in his heart. And he cannot help but mention them and think about them at all, and in every circumstance and situation. So this is also a reason for that. Another reason why people will fall into backbiting, the people of Nada's mention, is because a person, he wants to raise himself. He wants to raise himself and make himself seem noble or seem good. So therefore, he'll mention the ills and the faults of others behind their backs in order to stand on them and to seem like he's above them and the likes like this. So all of this is yani from the lowly and the foul manners and from that which is impermissible. The people of knowledge, they mentioned that there are exceptions to this rule. That the origin with regards to backbiting, mentioning your brother behind his back in a manner that he dislikes, ذِكْرُكَ أَخَاكَ بِمَا يَكْرَهُ, this is the origin, that is haram and from the major sins. But there are six circumstances whenever it is permissible and even sometimes could be considered an obligation. The people of knowledge, they mentioned them in some brief lines of poetry. They say, الذَمُّ لَيْسَ بِغِيبَةٍ فِي سِتَّةٍ مُتَظَلِّمٍ وَمُعَرِّفٍ وَمُحَذِّرٍ وَلِمُذْهِرٍ فِسْقًا وَمُسْتَفْتٍ وَمَنْ طَلَبَ الْعِيَانَةَ فِي إِزَالَةِ مُنْكَرِ. So these are the six circumstances. المتظلم, the one who is seeking his right back, and the مُعَرِّف, the one who is just identifying somebody, and the مُحَذِّر, the one who is warning from somebody, and likewise the one who has displayed outwardly his sins. The fifth one is the one who is seeking religious advice and direction. And the sixth one is the one who asks somebody else to help them in order to remove some type of evil. So in these six circumstances, to mention an individual behind his back in a manner he does not like or a manner that he dislikes, this is not considered backbiting, yani that which is impermissible. And inshallah, in our class to come, we discuss these affairs in a bit of detail. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.